Let's go right into our weekly confession and declare this together. Sorry if I surprised you there. Shocked myself, actually. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. Word is God speaking to me. God speaking. Here is a record of God speaking to people. So if you hear somebody say, "You're loony. God's speaking to you?" Yeah, he is. And to these people too. And the whole world is going around and living on because of this. Oh, hallelujah. Prove it. Well, an adulterous generation seeks proof. The kingdom of heaven runs on faith because you can trust him. The only reason people need proof is because they're not used to trusting anybody, because you can't trust anybody in a fallen world. We're not dealing with a fallen God. He doesn't need to prove anything. He is. Praise God. This month we're talking about power principles from the book of James. And today we're talking about the power of the tongue. You know, most people's answers are 1 inch below their nose. And most people's problems are 1 inch below their nose. It's your mouth. Praise God. So we're going to get a little tune-up today. How's that? You want a tune-up? You know, you pull it in and God tunes you up. And well, that has a different connotation now. Tuning up means beating up sometimes. But he doesn't beat his children. We don't beat the sheep. We feed the sheep and give them what they need in order to be everything God created them to be. So if you need a tune-up today, you came to the right spot. Hallelujah. Okay. Book of James. You know, it occurs to me, too, the book of James is probably one of the most talked about and controversial books in the Bible. I remember talking to people, especially preachers, years and years and years ago. And you tell them that, you say something like, you know, your whole body, they'll complain about feeling bad or sick or whatever. So I said, well, you know, the whole body is bridled by our tongue. It'll swing in line. And then I listened for 3 words. Well, yeah, but. Does that sound familiar? You quote the book of James. This is like the dividing line of truth and lies, liberty and bondage. It all, right in the middle of chapter 3, it goes right to your tongue, right to what you're speaking. But like that song said, the focus is really not on the tongue, because your tongue responds to what your heart is full of. So what we need to do is we need to put the right stuff in so the right stuff comes out, and God is flowing through us to our problems, solving those problems rather than agreeing with them. Oh boy, I'll tell you something. The power of agreement is a powerful thing. Watch who you're coming into agreement with and what you're coming into agreement with. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Praise God. You're going to get a healthy heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said, didn't he? James 1 verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, that means pious. Yeah, it's pious, you know. you know, it's and it can be sincere, but it can be totally wrong. Pious is like a surface thing. If anybody seems to be pious, religious, but doesn't bridle his tongue, his religion is in vain. That means to no avail. You can go to church, you can sing in the choir. You can do all of the serving and everything. You can do all kinds of things for the Lord, but if your tongue isn't bridled, meaning in line with the Word of God, and that word bridle means to be curbed. It means to be curbed, come in line with the Word of God, with the Word of truth. No matter, and here's the thing, the demonic realm, first of all, the spirit realm is ruled by the Word of God. The natural physical world was created and designed for man to rule and dominate by using God's Word and speaking God's Word to it. Let me say that again, maybe it came out wrong. The physical world was created and designed in order for man to rule it with God's Word. That's what brings the spiritual realm, which is ruled by God, into the natural realm and manifests the kingdom of God in this world. Uh-huh. And there's a pull. The devil will pull you, and he will want to get you to say something wrong about yourself, about others, and everything, just to get in there and so that you release words. And you know what? And I've noticed this too. And you can feel this. When people speak against you, you ever remember when you were a kid and you realized somebody was speaking against you? And there's a weight. You can feel it. Yeah. You can feel it. This is why if you get into a disagreement with some preacher, you see, pray for the guy. Don't start speaking against him. It says, judge no man's servant. Who? Don't judge another man's servant, for before his master is able to stand and his master is able to make him stand. Don't judge him. Get in line with the Word of God and start declaring the Word of God over him. Lord, I thank you that his mouth speaks your word, that he is receiving the light of heaven, that it is in line with the Word of God. Load him down with truth so that he can make people free, because obviously he has some influence. Your criticism isn't going to help him or anybody else one bit. But what will help if you start speaking the Word of God over him and releasing power on his behalf? Yeah. You have that ability and you have that right. Did you know that mankind is the only created being that we know of in all creation that has been authorized and designated to choose his own words and speak them? No other being, not even angels, can do that. That puts us in a whole different class than anything else. It puts us in an authoritative position. don't let that fountain on the inside bring fresh water and salt water. That shouldn't come from the same well. Amen. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue but deceives his own heart, when you speak the wrong thing, you're deceiving yourself. You are putting lies for truth, error for what's right, good doctrine, sound doctrine. You're putting things in place of things that God has put, and you're canceling them out in your own life. That's what's happening. Deceive your own heart. This man's religion is in vain. How many of you want a real powerful, vibrant faith that produces words that have heaven's kiss on it, that have heaven's infusion with wisdom on it? How many of you want that in your life? So that your words will mean something, and when you talk to somebody, they're going to open up and hear you. That's what he's getting at here. He doesn't want your words to be vain. He doesn't want your life to be vain. He doesn't want your faith to be vain. He wants it to be productive and produce. I've got a little ring on this microphone. Turn to James 3, just over a page, and we're going to look at verse 5, 6, and 8. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. I don't want to slide over that. We'll get back to that in a minute. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And is set on fire of hell. How many of you know words are important to God? Amen. If you are the only created beings who are able to choose your words and speak them, above all other nature that we know about, and even above the angels of heaven, how many of you know that your words are calculated? Your words are important. Your words should be speaking blessing, strength, power, honor. Set on fire, and sets on fire the course of nature, the course, the wheel of nature. These are the processes. In fact, that word means the circuit process of physical cause and effect is ruled by your tongue. I didn't write this down, but can we go to a Hebrews 11, verse 3? I want to see something here. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This is a powerful, revelatory verse. This, you can get so much deep revelation from this. Look at this. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. That phrase, the word of God here, is this Greek word rhema, R-H-E-M-A. Rhema, there are two words in the New Testament for the word of God. One is logos, and the other is rhema. Logos is the entire body of God's word. It has no beginning or no end. You can't reach the ends of it. It is eternal. Okay. Rhema is everything that logos is, except it's got a purpose that it's extracted and it's sent into time to do a specific work. That's what rhema is. Listen to this. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Your world is framed by the words that you speak, by the rhema. That you take this word and you have so much potential on the inside of you to release this. And the tongue is a fire, a kindling fire. You can start to burn up all of that sickness, all of that disease, all of that lack, all of that weakness in your life, all of the mental, whatever it is, whatever the problem is, you can start to light that stuff on fire and burn it out of your life. It is yours to do. This is a wonderful, amazing gift. This is autonomy that comes to you through free will.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God can't do it for you. But when you cooperate with him, boy, he's there. He's there faster than you can finish the sentence. Through faith, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, this whole universe was not God making something from nothing. No, it was made of things which do not appear. There are things that do not appear yet in your life. But when you speak God's word and God's promises, his provisions, his blessing, everything that he said in his word, when you start speaking it,
hallelujah,
it takes that spiritual matter and starts to produce his will, his power, his glory in your life. His plan and purpose for your life. I'm telling you something. We're sitting on a powder keg of power. And it's time we start using it. Because it will affect your whole future. It'll frame your world. It'll lock the devil out. And he'll be outside looking in saying, how am I going to get in there? And this guy's powerful. No, I'm not powerful. You know what it is? The word of God. And that's the word that surrounds me. Because the word says that his angels camp round about me. Camp around you. His word says that. When you agree with his word, what did Jesus do? Satan says, oh, his angel will hold you up if you just jump off the temple. That's a spirit of suicide, right? he was trying to get Jesus to do it himself. His angels will hold you up.
Amen.
No, his angels obey me when I obey God. Amen. Because they hearken unto the voice of his word.
Amen.
See, and the closer you get, I'll tell you what, the book of James, if you just take the next 2 months, and just take 3 or 4 verses at a time and just start meditating on them for 2 or 3 days. And 2 or 3 days on the next one. 2 or 3 days. And start connecting with other scriptures. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible will explode. It'll light you up like nothing else would. In fact, you probably won't be able to talk to us for a while. Because people go, well, yeah, but... What it does, see, what that does, the book of James reveals double-mindedness in you. You say, well, yeah, that's agreement, but disagreement, you are double-minded. If you ever start a sentence with, well, yeah, but you're double-minded, let that correct you. You know, one thing about the Berean church is that they went to the Word of God and tested it to see if those who were apostles really were. Everybody who comes to you and starts a fellowship with you, there's a pull. There's a spiritual pull to get you to say wrong things about somebody, something, or yourself or them, or situations in your life. About 30 things just came to me. The spirit realm is controlled by the Word of God. The natural realm was created to be controlled by man speaking God's Word. And the spoken word is creative power. You mean I can make planets? No, I doubt if you can make a BB. But what you can do is you can create your situations to operate in your favor.
Amen.
With your tongue.
Hallelujah.
Don't be so quick to throw in the towel. You know, you can't go to... Here, let's look at a verse of scripture here. Let's just review this again. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. We're back in James, sorry. James 3, 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, or look at this. Look how great a matter a little fire kindles. Now, that can pertain to gossip, or that can pertain to faith burning up the things that you planted in your life in the past. It doesn't say which one. You choose. Choose to believe God in this. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body. You know, it says that the sin that so easily besets us later in Hebrews, or earlier in Hebrews, says that in Hebrews 12, it says that the sin that so easily besets us, it's so subtle and it creeps in, and it started with one word, one sentence, one paragraph. It just grows like that, and it's easier to say the wrong things the more you say it. This may be difficult at first, of calling things which be not as though they were, but that is how faith works. You know, this is why our words need to be chosen carefully and prayed accurately. Pray the word of God. Don't pray your own words. Your words won't produce too much. In fact, they probably produce the wrong things. I mean, you go to God and say, God, Lord, I've prayed this and it's not working, and the devil is just defeating me. Why are you praying the problem? It says, come to the throne of grace. He didn't say it's a dumping ground for your problems. He said, come unto the throne of grace that you may obtain what? Mercy, and find grace, that's power, to help in the time of need. Now, you say, you mean even in my prayers I got to be careful what I say? Yes! Yes. Because that's the time that the devil comes to empty his dumpster on your life and the dumpster of your mistakes and remind you of everything that's wrong. And so you approach the kingdom, the throne of heaven, the throne of grace, with the attitude of no help and without hope in the world. That's the way he wants you to come. So what will you do? Say, Lord, I prayed this before. Nothing is happening. I know it's not going to work. First of all, you prayed the problem and not the answer. Jesus never prayed the problem. He always prayed the answer. He always prayed the promise. He always went to the word. It is written, it is written, it is written. He shall. And he never prayed the problem. He always prayed the word. Plus, you've also released faith in the ability of the devil to defeat you. That's not the kind of prayers God, he has given you so much of himself in his word. His word is himself. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and equipped them. So many things the word of God does because it is God. The word is God. It cannot be wrong. It is always right. It is not contained to anything in this world. It is designed to rule this world when it's spoken by man because it's already ruled in the spirit realm by his word. But if the devil can distract you, this came to me a few days ago, but the devil's mandate is to destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. And his method is distraction. You say, I thought it was deception. Well, in order to deceive you, he's got to distract you. This is why it's important. My son, attend unto my word. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to all who believe. And medicine, health, that word is morphe, it means medicine. Morphe to all their flesh. You turn against the word of God and start telling the problem. Plus, not okay, so you've prayed the problem. You have expressed faith in the enemy's ability over you, and then you've also prophesied that it's not working. You've established a precedent here that it's just not working, Lord. That's not how you honor your Father. No matter what your problems are, come as you are and start saying what he says about you so you're giving him something to work with. Remember, he's the high priest of your confession. That means he is ordered by the Father to take what you say and make it good. And if you're talking defeat, problems, failure, and everything else, he has nothing to work with. He's not going to come into fellowship or agreement with it. You come into agreement with him, you've got all heaven working for you. Praise God. So if you want to pray, take his, if you have a need in your life, a weakness in your life, whatever it is, find a promise. And if you need a cheat sheet, go to that God's Promise Word. You remember that little book, God's Promises? And you can find it by subject. And then you can start praying that promise into that and start confessing that promise into your life. It's, and then you're coming into agreement with his word. If you pray your words, it's going to be difficult. You know what your words produce? Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 2. Here's what your words will do for you. Whether you're in this, whether you're just doing your own thing or praying to God, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken. That means taken captive. It means you're bound up. You are in bondage with the words of your mouth. God's word doesn't put anybody in bondage. He is a liberator. The devil is the one who's in bondage. You're snared by the words of your, and we have spoken, we've all done this, we've all spoken word, the words of the enemy. And that enemy has held people in bondage for years and years and years and years. I am weak. it's time to let the weak say, I am strong. Joel 3:10. Write that down. Joel 3:10. Praise God. Here's what God's word will produce. Look at the Jeremiah 1, verse 12. And I'm reading from the ASV, the American Standard Version. I like this version. Then said Jehovah to him, you have seen well. He said, for I watch over my word to perform it. So when you bring God's word to him, it's a word that he's been watching over, brooding over, hovering over all this time, ever since he spoke it. He's breathing over that word. And he's waiting for you to speak it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So he can make it good to perform it. I watch over my word. He doesn't watch over your words. He doesn't watch over your opinions. You know, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, but they usually got a couple of holes in them. Yeah. It's true. Say, oh me, or say, oh my, or say, amen. Amen. Praise God. So here's another little insight. If you flip over to Isaiah 55 and verse 11, he says, so shall my word be. Okay, so now God watches over his word to perform it. We bring it to him and we speak it. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I've sent it to do, and it will prosper in the thing where it was sent. He's already pronounced the fact that when his word went into the earth, it will not come back to him void. You put it in your heart and you speak to him, it's not coming back to him void. He's waiting for it. In fact, he's there already. So by the time you say amen, it's done. He's ready. It'll accomplish that which I please. This gives him pleasure to do this. And it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It will not fail. It cannot not fail. Well, it cannot fail. It will not fail. You will not fail when you stand on it.
Hallelujah.
And you keep your eyes on it. Stand on the word come, and you can walk on water. Stand on the word blessing, and you will walk in blessing. Stand on the word health and healing, and you'll be whole and healed.
Amen.
Stand on his word. Stand on his word. Stand on his word. Don't stand on anything else. Why? It's all that stuff is temporal. It's all in the temporary physical realm, which you were designed and created and authorized to rule by the mouth that's 1 inch below your nose. And anything that's out of line, that fire will burn it up.
Amen.
You got so much working for you. It's time to do it. Amen?
Amen.
But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Amen.
You know, I gotta get out of here. Let's look at some practical application here. Let's go to Mark chapter 5, I think it is. 5, yeah. Let me preface that by going to Mark 11, 23. This is a verse that Kenneth Hagin wrote. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, most people think he wrote, it's like that he knew, this is the only verse he knew that some people, but it's not true. You know, his major focus was on the love of God. He preached love wherever he went. The love of God. Because faith won't work without the love of God. Let Mark 11, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Kenneth Hagin was reading this and meditating it one day. And the Lord interrupted him and said, have you ever noticed that the word say is there three times and the word believe is there only once? The focus is not on faith here. Whosoever shall say under this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, but shall believe in his heart. All right? But shall believe that those things which he saith, not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Three times say, and then the Spirit of God spoke up to him and say, if you're having a trouble getting a hold of your mouth, if you're having trouble getting yourself to get out of that funky little mindset of saying whatever the problem is, you can actually school yourself into faith by keep saying the Word of God. Say it three times. Believe. And say it, 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 and say it. And when you're done with that, say it. Say it, and say it, and when you're done with that, keep saying it, and keep saying it. The Word of God is powerful. It'll start burning up all that doubt and unbelief in your mind.
Amen.
Your soul. This is how you get transformed, by the renewing of your mind. And keep saying it, and that little, your tongue will be a little kindle fire, and it'll set that whole thing out. And you do that. Take a month, take 2 months, take a week, whatever you have, and just focus on that and do it. Start off simple, and because all you need is one match to burn that stuff out. You know, the devil will make this whole thing, this is a big problem. I mean, you are a big problem. And then he'll send two or three people up, and then they'll start talking about you. You know, it's like you. You know, if they turn the same thing on themselves, let's see how that works. You can school yourself in the faith. Now turn to Mark chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 25. And now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Boy, you know, if you had that for 2 months, that'd be a long time, wouldn't it? Or even a week. 12 years! And it suffered many things of many physicians. And some things just don't change. And spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, what did she say? If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched my clothes? Touch me? And he looked round about to see her who had done this thing. Could you imagine if his eyes fell on you? She felt guilty because she wasn't even supposed to be in this crowd. Under the Levitical law, she could be stoned if she was in public, in presence of other people with her condition. She felt guilty. And says she came and bowed down fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, daughter, see, this pleases God. Faith pleases God.
Amen.
It doesn't. Remember the guy who ripped apart his roof? He was in his own house in Capernaum when all these guys came from all over Judea and Galilee. And these were, I mean, they drove carriages. This was the Lexus, the Mercedes of all the transportation lodged outside of Jesus' house. And all of these guys were gathered in Jesus' house in Capernaum to listen to him. So he started speaking. It says the power of God was present to heal them. And those guys started ripping apart his roof. But he didn't look at the destruction that was going on to his roof. He looked to their faith. He saw their faith. Amen. Why? Because you could see it working. They couldn't get in, so they dropped him right. Now, here's the thing. How did they know which part of the roof? Because they couldn't get in. They couldn't see where Jesus was. They had to rip up all kinds of stuff in there to see where he was so they could get him down in front of Jesus. You ever think of, this is how my mind works. And he saw their faith. He saw that they were not going to quit until they got him to Jesus. Amen. But here's the woman. Let's go back to verse. Let's see. It says, she heard about Jesus. I think it's verse 27, 26, 27. What, 27, when she heard about Jesus. What did she hear about Jesus? Here he comes. Here he comes. He's healed multitudes of people. Lepers are cleansed. He's raised the dead. He's done all kinds of things. This guy, nothing is impossible. This is what she heard. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched him. For she said, this word said is the word lego in the Greek. And it means a continual flow of words. It means like a harangue of words. She kept saying in herself. She kept saying and saying and saying. What was she doing? She was schooling herself out of the old dungeons of these doctors who took all her money and couldn't do anything for her. She was schooling herself into action. Because she couldn't go outside in this crowd. But now her faith, she could see herself as God sees. She could see herself what the Old Testament says. That the word of God is medicine to all her flesh. She started that harangue, saying, if I can just touch, and that faith, schooling her, took the if out of it. I'm going, and there's no reason. If they got it, I can get it. She started looking at herself with the love of God, the love of a father. He wanted to lavish his love upon her. She connected with who Jesus was when she heard about him. And she went, you know, you can do that now. He's here now. He's here right now.
Praise the Lord.
Where two or more are gathered together. Did he say that?
Yeah.
He said that. Does he honor his word?
Yeah.
Yes! What is it that you need? What is your need? School yourself into faith. Start after it and don't quit. Don't let go. Keep walking after it. Keep pursuing it. He said, if you seek, you find. He said, everybody who seeks finds. Everybody who asks receives. Everybody who knocks, it will be open to them. He is waiting for your words to turn his way, to speak his word, to apply his answers to your problems. Or your needs, his supply to your needs. That's what she was doing. She was schooling herself into faith. And she said, I'm going. And she did. And she touched him, and immediately she knew she was healed. And Jesus felt it come from him. Rick Renner did this one time. He fasted for 40 days. And actually, he did that twice. And the second time, what happened was this group of ministers were gathering, trying to get this guy healed. And for some reason, they called Rick Renner's parents. Well, they told him he showed up. And they couldn't get this guy healed. And he came up. And immediately as they touched the guy, whoo, he felt power go from him. The same thing Jesus felt. That's what I want. I want that. I want you to have that. I want us all to exchange a valuable anointing. Did this woman have any kind of holy perfection that she should? Did Jesus say, sister, my anointing did that for you? Did he say that? No. Did he say, the stars are aligned for you today? You're in the right place at the right time. Did he say that? No. Did he say, it's my ability that healed you? What did he say? Your faith hath made you whole. Your faith. It's God's faith. It's for everybody. It's in you. He has dealt the measure of faith to every man. You have it. It's on the inside of you. You work it. How do you work it? You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Why? Because of proof? No, God said it. He is all the proof you need. And it is impossible for him to lie. I mean, if he said 2 + 2 = 5, the entire universe would line up to accommodate his word. Everything he says comes to pass. So how can he possibly lie? He cannot lie. I scribble. It takes outside help to get deceived on this. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue, that means to curb it, bridle it, tongue keeps his soul from troubles. This will help your mind, your emotions. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Speak that life. Speak that. Let that well go and start to change your family. I don't care what the problem is. Everything's changeable in this life. People's hearts are changeable. Their minds are changeable. They are. So don't accept the way they are. If it's out of line with, keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. The mouth, what he says, in other words, the righteous, the well of life. Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Silver is a valuable commodity. But I think by double reference, you can put all the commodities that have value in heaven can be released this way. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. You need wisdom? You know what wisdom is? It's the ability to interpret life through God's eyes. That dog will hunt. It's the ability to interpret life through God's eyes. That's what wisdom is. His eyes see through the future. His eyes see everything. His eyes see everything. He can look at a gnat and see his innards. I mean, how small is that? Do you have something kindling in your heart that he doesn't know about? I don't think so. He knows everything. Everything. And he loves you. He loves you with a love that is so deep and rich and pure and strong and hot love for you. Words can build up or tear down. Words can bring peace or create conflict. Nations rise and fall because of words. Lucifer's entire fall came from what he said. For he said, I shall be like the Most High. I will. I will. I will. And God says, no, you won't. Words carry truth or spread lies. Words inspire faith, encourage, or they create fear. You know what it does? You know, think of that. Words that bring fear. Words have the ability to bring a presence into where you are that can either drive the devil out or attract more demons in. Words have that capability. And we have the ability to speak light, speak life. And if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, our words will be words of light. And the blood of Jesus is free to cleanse and purify, restore, redeem, reconcile, whatever it is. The word of God, and that power is in your tongue. Don't say, well, yeah, but that's a wounded puppy. But you're a strong man of God, a strong woman of God. Why else would he give you his word? Something so precious and powerful, something that is so enormously productive. Praise God. And he has an entire throne just waiting for you. This tickles. I mean, it just really, God, you're so good. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the truth that liberates us. We thank you, Father, for the power of health and healing. We thank you, Father, for that you have stretched forth your hand and delivered us and given us an avenue to walk in your presence wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves in. Lord, we know the answer is in your word. And our commitment to you this morning is to be doers of your word, to speak what you speak, and not what our problems speak, not what the world speaks, not the fears of civilizations being divided and conquered by the enemy. No, we will stand in the power of your truth, and in every way we will rise above it, knowing that our God is the author of life, power, strength, and ability, and a prosperous God. Amen. In Jesus' name.